let's go to 1 John. I'm going to be reading in 1 John chapter 1, and then I'm going to read one verse in 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 1, we'll read verse 4. When you get there, let's stand, and I'm going to go to chapter 5, verse 13. Thank you for being faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for being faithful. He always is. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another day, for your blessings, and for being so good to us. God, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and in our church. God, thank you for the revival that we've had so far, God. And I thank you for each one that's come this way tonight, God. I pray, God, you'd bless us. I pray, God, you'd fill us right now, Lord, with your spirit, God. And I pray, God, you'd let the word speak to us, God. Lord, you said your word would not return void. God, encourage us tonight. And whatever is done, we'll make sure you get all the praise, you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach just a little while on a thought of testing yourself with the Word of God. Testing yourself with the Word of God. I won't never forget, I preached a message been several years ago. And some of y'all going to remember this. And I kind of picked on Brother Donald Boone that day, I believe it was. I had a bunch of sticks, and I had cut them up, Brother Charlie, and I laid them out on the front of the church up here. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I called Brother Donald Boone. He's a contractor. He measures stuff all the time. And I asked him, I said, Brother Donald, pick out the stick that's 1 yard long. How many of y'all remember that sermon? And he looked at it, and nothing was marked, and nothing was, it all looked the same. One was about a quarter inch longer, one was about a quarter inch shorter, you know. He said, I can't tell. So he sat down, and I got one of the ladies in the church to come up here, and I gave her a yardstick. I said, now pick out the one that's yard long. She looked at it, and she said, this one right here. It's real easy to pick out the right thing when you got the right thing to measure it by. Wow. Amen? Yeah. And, don't test yourself by what you see on TV. Test yourself by what we see in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in the early church, when we studied the Bible in the early church, it had been birthed in power. I'm talking about, right off the bat, just a few months, thousands were being saved. Peter's preaching and thousands were being saved. And God is blessing and God was, but it didn't take long for false doctrine to get into church. And I thought about it as I was sitting on the front pew. It'd be good for us sometimes if you would go back and study some false doctrine. But the one I want to kind of look at tonight was called Gnosticism. There were many versions of this, but the primary area of agreement was that their belief was that knowledge, special knowledge and not the cross, was what got you saved. In other words, the Gnostics believed that only through initiating to a special knowledge that they alone possessed could anybody be saved. They also believed that all matter was evil. This meant that Jesus did not really have a flesh and blood body. And if matter was evil, then Christ could not have a physical body. It only appeared that he died, and that some believed that he did die, but that the Spirit left him before the cross. Of course, if you do that, that eliminates the cross as far as being for salvation. So we know that's a lie. But they believed that the body, that basically what they believed, that all matter was evil and the body could do evil as long as the spirit was right. We hear stuff like that and we think, that's just stupid. Y'all say amen right there. I know stupid ain't a politically correct word, but that's just stupid. But it's real easy for false doctrine to ease into the church. All it takes is just one little person, kind of leaning that way, and then they talk to somebody and get them leaning that way, and then next thing you know, they got 15 or 20 leaning that way, and then next thing you know, they got a whole other denomination. That's how it is. But I want us to know. The Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. Amen. And I'm just going to kind of go through these. I'm trying to slow down and teach you a little bit tonight maybe. But number one, let's look at the commandment section of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 6 says this: "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him, ought him also to walk even as he walked." Simply stating, the person who is saved will have a desire to walk in obedience to the revealed word of God. Now, if you claim to be a Christian and you cuss like a sailor, guess what? You ain't saved. If you claim to be a Christian and you shacking up, guess what? You ain't saved. I used to preach you judging. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you, we're looking at the commandment section right now. And just like we measure in a yardstick, hey, we're going to measure it by the Bible. Amen. So we can know that we're saved. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Right. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, the saved person will receive the word of God in his life. Do you hear what I said? The saved person will receive the word of God and will conform his life to the word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." In other words, I told them in Bible Institute Monday night, you know, when the preacher is and he's in the Word and he's preaching what the Bible says and I don't agree with it, guess what? I'm the one that's got to change. Amen. Because the Bible's not going to change. Amen. Amen. God's word is settled in stone, glory to God. It will not change. Now, I want you to know, the saved person will experience joy in their heart. They're going to receive the commandments of the Lord, and they're not going to fuss about the commandments of the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Now listen, "and his commandments are not grievous." Amen. We ain't going to fuss about what the Bible says. Amen. Just because it don't line up with what you think, we're not going to fuss about what the Bible says, because the Bible is right and we are wrong. Every time. I don't care what nobody else tells you. I don't care how grandmama believed it. I don't care what preacher so-and-so said. Hey, if the Bible's going to always be right, and if anybody disagrees with what the Bible says, you are wrong. The Bible says his commandments are not grievous to us. Psalms chapter 40, verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Psalms 119, verse 35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Psalms 119, verse 47, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Let me ask you a question. Is there something inside you that wants to do what's right and wants to do what the Bible says? If there is, that's a good indication that you saved. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Before I got saved, I didn't want nothing to do with it. I knew the Bible. I'm just going to go. I was raised in church. But before, when I got out of church and I was out there running around doing things I had no business doing, I didn't want nothing to do with that Bible. I didn't want nothing to do with church. I didn't want to come to church. I wanted to stay away from church. I didn't want to see no preachers. I didn't want to see no deacons. I didn't want nobody talking to me about Jesus. But when I got saved, everything changed, amen. His commandments are not grievous to us. Now listen, you may not do everything perfect, and ain't none of us in here can. You may not, but I'm telling you right now, if there is a desire within you to try and do what's right, if there is a desire in you to try and line up your life with what thus saith the Word of God, that is a good indication, glory to God, in the commandment section that you're at least trying. Don't you realize that's all Jesus wants you to do? Is try. Yeah. Now, you know, I believe it was Preacher Buddy C one time said, I'm going to quit saying that I've been trying hard. He said, because I ain't. There's a lot of us that ain't trying. Amen. There's some of us that are. I mean, some of us, listen, if it don't break your heart when you break the commandments of God, there's something wrong. If it don't break your heart when you break God's heart, there's something wrong, amen? But that's the commandment section. How you doing so far on this little test? I ain't going to tell you it's going to get no better. Let's look at the compassion section. We got the commandment section. Let's look at the compassion section. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says this. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The genuine believer, somebody that's really saved, is going to have a true love for other believers. Amen. Now listen. Everybody at some point gets on everybody else's nerves. Don't get all holy on me. I've been in church for a long time. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all. So I know y'all ain't going to believe this, but I'm going to tell y'all this. There has been times in church that I got on somebody's nerves. Yep. There have been times in church, Jackie, that I have upset people. There have been times in church that I did things that I shouldn't have done and got somebody upset with me. But you know what? When you realize that, you go to that person. Yeah. When you realize, the Bible says if you know somebody's got an ought against you, when you come down to this altar to pray and you realize somebody's got an ought against you, not that you hurt them, not that they hurt you, but you realize they just got some kind of little fault against you or whatever. The Bible says leave your gift on this altar, go to that person, get it right with that person, and then come back and talk to God about it. That's what I'm talking about. There will be a genuine love for other believers. When's the last time you really showed somebody you loved them? I read something, it might have been on Facebook or something. It said, mark of a true Christian ain't how much you love Jesus, it's how much you love Judas. Think about that and let that sink in a minute. The mark of a true Christian ain't how much you love the preacher, it's how much you love the one that wronged you. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life. Let me tell you something. Anybody that don't show a true love for other believers is not saved. Is not saved. In other words, you don't love in word, but you love in deed. Amen. I can tell you all day long, I love you. Al, I'm going to pick on you a little bit, okay? Al's in church tonight because of that man. Because he refused to give up. And he refused not to love. Amen? Did you hear that? He said God wouldn't let him. That's a sign of a true believer. When's the last time you went down and got somebody that was not doing what they're supposed to do, was not living like they were supposed to live, and you wouldn't give up on them, and you didn't give up on them, and now they're sitting in church? That's the mark. We know we've passed from death into life because we love. Amen. And not only is it, I believe it's not only talking about those church folk, it's talking about everybody. Amen. Amen. You got to have a love for everybody. It'll show. Just because I was thinking about this as I was studying this. It's sometimes that I don't feel saved. There's sometimes that I'll be honest with you, I don't act saved.
Amen.
There's times that if we'll be honest, we've turned our backs on people. And didn't show them the love of God. But after a while, the Lord starts convicting. Amen. And the Bible tells us in 1 John, we go 1 John again, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, we have confidence toward God. The thing about it is, there have been times in my life that I didn't feel saved, but I knew I was saved. There have been times in my life that I let the devil talk to me. See, that's the problem. The devil talks to everybody, but when we start listening to him, that's where we run into a problem. Now, let's look at the Christ-like section. You got the commandment section, the compassion section, the Christ-like section. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 10. I'm not going to go back and read, but these verses reveal the true and genuine believer will have a different life than the world around him. In other words, the Bible tells us to be Christ-like. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. In other words, Paul had enough Jesus in him. Paul said, listen, you watch how I do things, because I'm going to do it the way Christ did it. How many of us have got enough gumption about us and enough Jesus about us? We'll tell us. I'm just going to pick on Skip a little bit. I don't know what Skip told Al when him and Al was, he was drawing Al back and getting Al back. But it could have been something like this. Skip could have told Al, said, Al, you watch how I do it. Because I'm going to do it the way Jesus said do it. When's the last time you had enough Jesus in you to say that? Kevin, you ought to be living good enough that you tell somebody that you work with, hey, you watch me, because I'm gonna do my very best to do it like Jesus did it. Most of us will say, well, I tell you what, you better keep your eyes on Jesus, because I'll let you down. Well, I tell you what, if you know somebody's watching you, Melissa said something in Bible Institute the other night. Talk about when she started teaching. She said, I realized that if I started teaching, that was going to make me study more. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
When you teach and you preach, that puts you in the Bible more. Listen, when you ought to have somebody in your life. You ought to have somebody. She said, you watch me because I'm going to do it like Jesus said. For no other reason, Brother Jackie, that you got somebody watching you and you got somebody looking at you and you got somebody going to hold you accountable if you don't do it right.
Amen.
Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. We're supposed to live our life in a way that would please Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? I ain't the same one I was when I got saved. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Christian is not going to live a life of habitual sin. I didn't say we wouldn't sin, but we will not live a life of habitual sin. In other words, when you do something wrong, you know you've done something wrong, you stop, you ask God to forgive you of that sin, and you do your best not to do it again. Is anybody in here but me ever just kept falling into it? Anybody in here but besides me ever had to come down and all say, Lord, it's me again. Lord, it's me again, and I'm dealing with this same old mess. You know what the difference is? Before I got saved, I wouldn't have been on the altar to start with. I'd have been happy in my sin. The Christian will not live a life of habitual sin. I said this in Bible Institute the other night. We are not saved because we do right. We do right because we're saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's look at the companion section. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You got somebody living on the inside of you. It's the Holy Ghost. That's why you can't do sin and be happy about it. Because there's somebody, you say, well, that's my conscience. That ain't your conscience. You had a conscience before you got saved. Amen. I had a conscience before I got saved, but I didn't have the Holy Ghost before I got saved. And that's why I know that you ain't supposed to be out there drinking beer. That's why I know you ain't supposed to be out there cussing. That's why I know you ain't supposed to be out there doing things like the world does it. Hey, I'm telling you, I had a conscience when I was doing all that kind of nonsense. But there's somebody on the inside now that lets me know that it ain't right. Amen. D.L. Moody was preaching one time, and he held up a glass of water with nothing in it. He said, how can I get the air out of this water? Somebody said, well, if you put a pump on it, you can suck all the air out of it. He said, well, that might work for a while. He said, I don't know. Several people finally said something, you know, do this, do that, do this, do that. He finally just set it up on the pulpit, took a glass of water, and filled it up till it was running over.
Amen.
He said, all the air's out. That's how it is when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. When you get everything else out and he fills you up, amen. The Spirit of God takes up residence in the spirit of the believer. It's the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And his Spirit gives us that assurance that we're saved. Amen. I know I'm saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you hear that inner voice? Do you listen to that inner voice? See, that's the thing. You've heard me say this before. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to do what it says. And I'm just going to give you just a little example. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I go into town or whatever, and I know y'all see people too standing beside the road with a sign. You know, and I'm not knocking nobody. A lot of times, if I ain't careful, I'm going to tell you right now, many people's hired, and you could get a job.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't y'all get quiet on me now. But every once in a while, it's like something says, you need to help them. I was coming out of Walmart the other day, been about a couple weeks ago. There was a man standing there and his wife. I had a couple kids. It was just like the Lord said, all right, sometimes you entertain angels unaware. So instead of me having that mindset of, well, you could get a job, you standing out here on the side of this road, I reached in a little pocket of the car there, and I don't know how much money it was. I rolled down my window. I said, here, God bless you. If I can't listen to the Holy Spirit when he talks to me like that,
amen,
how in the world can I expect to listen to the Holy Spirit when he deals with me about other things?
Amen.
See, the problem is if we ain't careful, we want to push it off to the back of our mind. Well, they just need to get a job.
Yeah.
And it might be God trying to talk to you. So not only do you have him on the inside, he's trying to get your attention. Amen? There ought to be a desire for the things of God. You ought to desire to come to his house. You ought to desire to be with his people. You ought to desire for the word of God. Amen? That's just the way it is. Now let's look at the commitment section, and I'm going to come to a close. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. A true believer is the one that's trusting Jesus Christ alone for salvation of his soul. Amen. Nothing else. Amen. I'm not trusting in my good works. I'm not trusting in anything else. I'm just trusting in Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, when God shook the jailhouse, the jailer was getting ready to commit suicide. Paul said, hey, we still all right here. And this is what he said. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. John tells us that faith in Jesus Christ is grounded our hope. That's what I'm trusting in. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says these. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the saint, that believe on the name of the Son of God. I don't trust in a prayer you prayed. Don't trust in a song you sing. Don't trust in coming up and shaking the preacher's hand. That ain't got nothing to do with it. We're trusted. Don't trust in some warm sensation that you got on an altar somewhere. We're trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Alone. That's it. You can't even trust your good works. Amen? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, that means preached, in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? You do realize that you can't cast out a devil and have a devil in you. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's Jesus and Jesus right by himself. Y'all remember when we was in school? And I don't know how to do it now, but used to, Brother Robert, they would line up all them desks in the gymnasium where I went to school. And they'd give you them aptitude tests. Y'all remember them? Some of y'all old as me, so get your... Amen. How many of y'all remember going to school and they give you a pop quiz? Those aptitude tests, from what I understand, back in the day, was basically to see if you knew what you're supposed to know before you went to the next grade. Y'all do realize that God gives tests. And God tests us sometime to know if we're going to move to the next stage. And until you pass the test, guess what? You don't move to the next stage. So how'd you do tonight when you're testing yourself according to the Bible? Amen. Thing about it is, the test I'm talking about requires 100%. You can't do 99% and be all right. With Jesus, it's all or nothing. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many's got doubt and fears, and the devil's just, you let the devil beat you up? When you got the Word of God, all that shouldn't happen. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me. If you hear that.